The Naval History and Heritage Command are rolling up their sleeves to rediscover the Navy's hidden treasures. The small staff is in the middle of an effort to catalog, photograph, and rehouse its popular weapons collection that dates back to the 17th century. For more on this history lesson and why it's important, we turn to curator Julie Kowalski. Ms. Kowalski, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, this is a fascinating story of an effort that you guys are doing. So let's just get a little bit of background. How really big is this collection and what does it include?
We're actually artifact baseline reset on the whole collection, which is approximately 300,000 artifacts, and that includes also the small arms collection. So a lot of items we're looking at.
Now, small arms, and it goes everything from a cannon. I was reading through some background, a bronze 6-pound Spanish cannon. That sounds just incredible to be able to see it, all the way to small arms. 300,000 items seems huge. This is all stored in a warehouse or in several warehouses, I should say, in the D.C. area, correct?
And one in Memphis. There are four warehouses at the moment that have our collection in, and we are working to consolidate them into one warehouse. And part of that process is to locate all the items, to photograph, condition report, and do research into the items, and then to clean and rehouse all the artifacts using principles of preventative conservation. Some of these items haven't been seen in quite a number of years, so we're just trying to reassess all our collection.
Now, how did you guys decide to go back and relook at the collection? Was there some impetus, or was it just one of those things that says, hey, it's time to do it?
I don't think a full inventory has been done since we started collecting in the early 20th century, so obviously it's long overdue. And I'm sure you're aware of the IG report that was done into the command a number of years ago, and this is one of our solutions for rectifying that report. And it's just good curatorial practice. A lot of the data that we have on our artifacts, you know, is decades old, and it's not quite up to the standard that we would do now. So we're just revisiting all of that and getting all the data up to date and making sure that we definitely know what we have and what condition it's in and where it's at.
Now, I know a lot of your collection is not available to the public, or the public rarely sees it, but you guys are doing something that's pretty cool, is taking photographs and then putting it online. So before, I definitely want to go down that path, but before we do that, just give me a sense, what is the process by which you are going through your collection and rehousing it and relooking at it, and where do you start with a huge collection of 300,000 artifacts?
We actually had all our textile collections were originally stored at the Washington Navy Yard. They've been moved off-site, and we've had contractors helping us with that, and they've been going through what we call our textile boxes and our small artifact boxes, and they've been working through that. Basically, it is you literally pull a box, you open it up, and you look at each individual item within that box to do the research, to photograph, to measure, and then rehouse, repack, and then you have to upload the data to the database with photographs. So, I mean, in some cases it can be a quick process. Some things are easy to identify. Other things you look at and you think, well, where did that come from? What is it? It might have lost its number. You might have to do a lot of research in our catalog and accession records to figure out what this item might be. So some is quick. Some will take you quite a long time to figure out. It's a bit like a jigsaw puzzle in some circumstances.
And a fascinating historical one. Have you found something that you didn't know you already had, or something that you realized, whoa, we thought it was, you know, this type of gun, but it was actually that type of gun?
With regard to the small arms,
or any arms in general,
Not in small arms per se. We did have a small arms expert come in 2009 and help us assess the collection to see what we had. And we do have some unusual pieces, a lot of experimental pieces, which never went in production. And that's part of our collecting policy, is that we collect those types of artifacts that would, highlight the history of U.S. Navy weapons, as well as types that were used by the Navy throughout the ages. So as far as small arms go, we know what we've got, and we're quite up on that. I was helping prior to working with the small arms. I was also helping to ABR some items, and we rediscovered, for want of a better word, some Admiral Nelson letters. which was quite a shock for me to open a manila envelope and see these letters from Admiral Nelson. So that was kind of cool.
No, very nice. Now, if you want to remind people who Admiral Nelson is real quick, because I think a little bit of history is always helpful.
Okay. Admiral Nelson is like he was a an admiral in the Royal Navy in the 1700s, early 1800s, Battle of Trafalgar. He is, for want of a better word, like the grandfather of the Royal Navy. He's very famous in Britain, and I think he's well known over here too. So,
and we don't have to send those back to Britain, do we? Because I mean, that you know, being the U.S. and Britain, that whole history thing of the Revolutionary War and all that.
Yeah, no, I believe they came into our collection from a private donor. How I'm assuming they must have purchased them at some point. So, as far as we're concerned, you know, they're part of government property now, so they would stay within the collection.
All right, well, that's good, because we don't want any international incidents over historical documents,
no,
of course.
No.
give me a sense of the process now. You are going through small arms. You eventually move to larger arms, and then what comes next? When will this be online? Because I think there'll be a lot of interest from historians and others, researchers, who'd love to be able to look at the pictures, and then we can go from there.
Okay. With regards to the whole collection and small arms, we, as part of the baseline reset process, taking photographs. We need to, and the command is doing at the moment, they're developing a new website. So that will be the first part of the process. Once that's up, the new website will have a data management system in the background. Then our database, our collections management database, needs to be uploaded to a cloud. That's where we're moving to. Once that is done, then that certain artifact records will go into the database management system, and then they'll be available online. We're hoping at the end of this fiscal year to have a few items up online in that format, although in the meantime, and certainly since 2010, we've been operating a Flickr site, uploading a couple of pictures a week so that people can see what's in our collection, things that they might not otherwise see in museums on loan, just to give people a taste of what we do have in the collection. So that's the whole timeline of getting pictures online.
And we will make sure we post a link to that Flickr site on federalnewsradio.com, let people see. We are speaking with Julie Kowalski, a curator in the Naval History and Heritage Command. Let's talk a little bit about the collection itself. Now, it's fascinating in some ways. What has to be done when you see things that are, you know, 400 years old? How much effort, how much care? I mean, do you have to worry about, you know, picking something up and it falls apart in your hands? I mean, does the steel, does the metal get brittle?
The whole art handling criteria come into play when you're handling artifacts. So you have to look at an artifact before you touch it, and then decide where its weak parts of the artifact are, and support it when you pick it up and appropriately carry it on a cart. You wouldn't necessarily carry things in your hands through doors. You'd use a cart. So there are standard museum practices, and we do follow those. We condition report the items so that we look at all the artifacts and we'll note where the areas of damage are. And currently, we're actually having all our outdoor exhibits, the iron cannon and the main gun, which are all on display in the Washington Navy Yard. And if you come to the Navy Yard and you walk through Lutzey Park and Willard Park, you'll see all these cannon. We're having those assessed for conservation, because they're outdoors, you know, they're at the mercy of the elements. So we want to be able to preserve those into the future and to know what we need to be done with those. So as regards, we don't conserve ourselves. We are not conservators, but we will do some light cleaning of textiles and other objects, and then rehouse them in archival products and make sure that they're stored in climate-controlled conditions, so that that they're kept as we have found them, so they don't get any worse, in other words.
Right. I mean, that's the key here, not to make sure things can stay as artifacts that people can take advantage of them, if you will, or look at them for years to come. We're almost out of time. Before I let you go, I did want to just touch upon the Naval History and Heritage Command. just a little bit of background about the command itself. How did you guys end up, you know, being, you know, this in charge of this trove of all these great treasures?
The library was set up by John Adams. So, I mean, that was the beginning of the library's part of the command. That was the beginning of the command, per se. And then various functions, archival records, collecting of war documents were brought into the picture. And then in the early 1900s, they started to be collecting artifacts. We were incorporated in the 1970s and called the Naval Historical Center. And then I believe in 2009, we became the Naval History and Heritage Command, which is an echelon two command within the Navy. So we are the official repository for the Navy's historical collection. We also collect photographs, too. So we've got quite a wide range of types of artifacts that we collect. So we're tasked to do that. So that's how we collect.
And I just imagine, just real quick, imagine the Army and the Air Force and other services and parts of the military have very similar historical commands. Do you work closely with them as well?
Yes, they do all have historical programs, and yes, we do work with them. Marine Corps Historical Center, we also work closely with our fellow colleagues. Obviously, you know, if we have a marine artifact, we would ask them if they would like it, and they ask us if they have Navy things that they would like to give to us. And certainly the same with the Army. So we do, you know, work like that with each other.
All right. Well, as I said, we will link to your Flickr page, and when you guys are fully up and running, we'll link to your full website. Thank you, Julie Kowalski, who is the curator with the Naval History and Heritage Command.
Thank you.